aluminium.
Welcome back to Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle. And of course, you did hear the dulcet tones of one Paul Adams from New Zealand. And of course, that unique boat building material, aluminium. It's
aluminium. It's a great new product.
Well, you've got a great booth in the show this year, and of course, in there with Boat Country now, and the biggest display of Staby Crafts we've seen at the Seattle Boat Show, and getting some traction as well. It's got to be a good feeling, Paul.
Yeah, it's really a fantastic time. I mean, having been sort of in the aisles up the side, and now into the main hall, it's opened a new avenue for us. And of course, we've got the new 2880 Pilot House sitting there, and it's pride and glory, and we're getting some pretty good feedback and response on that boat, and we're having a good show.
Yeah, without question, of course, and a big range of boats, not just the 2880, but all the way down to the 16 footers and whatnot, and it just shows the versatility of that particular line, and it's nice to have people come in and kind of kick the tires a little bit. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the super cab range for all weather up in these conditions is always popular, and then you got the little dinghies and such like, which really help out the guys with the 50 footers, wanting to have that little toe behind,
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, let's go back in a little bit to the origins of the Staby Craft design. Of course, we've got a chance to talk about it before a number of times, but really the best riding boats for years and years are the ribs. They're the rigid hull inflatable boats that have the tubes on the outside. And of course, that's where the origins of Staby Craft and really its DNA was really born or created was down in Fovo Strait. Okay. Yep. In New Zealand, where the commercial fishermen had to have these rough water boats, but due to the nature of the shoreline, whether it be volcanic and very, very sharp rocks, were tearing up the ribs.
Yeah, so, and of course the abalone that they are fishing for, so diving for abalone and sea urchins. You know, both those one's a shellfish and one's got spikes. So that doesn't sort of bode well with rubber,
not at all.
So they spent time repairing their boats quite frequently and sort of got a bit sick of that.
So they came to you basically and said, "All right, we're tired of these inflatable pontoons. What can you do for us?" And that's when you brought in the aluminium into the process.
No, they actually suggested. So I'm not taking the sun for that. It's like they said, "Well, you need to roll up some aluminium and make an aluminium rubber boat."
Which is essentially what you
exactly.
did. So now if you think of the evolution of the product, now there you go from a round pontoon, which are the first ones you made, but they take up so much room in the boat.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been a process of evolution, and we went from the round aluminium, and then we put a flat internal side to give more internal room, and then we said, well, hey, hang on, why does it need to be round? And we played around with some performance ideas, so we put a hard chine on the bottom, and that gave us better turning and handling abilities and lift and such like. And, it's just evolved, and it's still evolving.
And so what you determined and what you've uncovered in the generations of this boat building process is the fact that it wasn't the roundness of the shape at all, but it was the reverse chine. It was the fact that via the hull comes back up, and then where it meets the chine, there's actually a gull wing or a flat or a reverse chine that gives the hull increased lift, and that's why it doesn't pound. That's why it handles on the water the way it does.
Yeah, from a performance standpoint, it's not actually about the buoyancy in those sealed chambers. It's actually about that bottom shape and profile that actually gives you all the benefits that we have.
So now it's 25 years later, and you've got one of the bigger aluminum displays in the Seattle Boat Show. I mean, that's you got to feel good about that.
25 years. I mean,
25 years
doesn't feel that long.
I happened to see a birthday cake and a big card in the boat show yesterday, and you happened to blow out the candles, and there was actually a little bit of media coverage there, and so that video is going to be posted on your website.
Yeah, I think Chris who shot that's going to be sort of putting it together and throwing it up on the Facebook and website and such like.
People looking for safer boats. I mean, naturally they gravitate towards that design. Once you get past the initial look of the boat, because it is still Staby Craft's design.
And beautiful.
It is still unconventional, boss. I mean, they're very unique on the water. And of course, I've got the big red one out there. I kind of fish out of the parade float, but the way that boat, it's not just the way it rides, but it's the way it fishes. I mean, Mark, you and I and a couple other big guys can go on the side of that boat and play a fish and net it and not feel like you're tipping over a little bit. Paul, tell us a little bit about that aspect of the boat and how, not just the fact that it rides so well, but in a swell, in a trough, the boat behaves and is extremely stable.
Well, you know, you think about the name Stabycraft. I mean, come from, you know, stability for a start off, and it was like we wanted to stick with our roots, with our DNA. So having stability at both at rest and underway was and is still very important in our product DNA. So when we're developing new models, we've got to make sure that it passes the test on the, you know, at rest, stability, and performing underway as well.
The Seattle Boat Show opens today at 10 o'clock, and it runs at 8 o'clock tonight, also Super Bowl Sunday. You know, so Mark, you should just come down there with us and, you know, and enjoy what's going on.
And give up the Super Bowl?
No.
You know, I did want to thank Paul, though, because for a boat builder from New Zealand to support the Derby Series like he has, and coming from a point of view of the Everett Derby where I've had the opportunity to give away a few of those boats, I just wanted to thank him because that was a huge, huge deal for us. And part of the success of the Derby Series and of the Everett Coho Derby is the fact that we were able to give those boats away. And I just want to take the chance to thank you for that.
Well, thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. And, you know, the great thing about the Derby Series, there's a customer came up to me on Thursday and said, oh, hey, oh, you, Stabycraft, yeah, you've been tied up with the Salmon Derby Series.
Sure.
And so I was chatting with Tony about that yesterday. You know, it's amazing how people are, you know, the awareness. So it's worked both ways. It's worked really well for us, and I think the Derby Series, it's gone great. 11 years, man alive. That's fantastic.
That is. Half the boats in the series here belong to Stabycraft, no question about it.
That's a big deal.
It's huge, no doubt. Come on down to the Seattle Boat Show today. Opens up at 10 o'clock. You'll find the Stabycraft booth right in the middle of the floor there, the main hall. So come on down and see us. Last weekend of the boat show, and of course, Robbo couldn't make it in today. The stork is circling somewhere over Gig Harbor, that Tacoma area. So, Mark Spada, thanks for jumping in with me today. Appreciate it, definitely. And of course, Paul Adams and Marty Smith, Stabycraft Boats. You know, nice way to top things off. And Mark, you had a question for
me. I was hesitant about asking this on the air, but I'm going to ask it. But I was just asking Paul, you know, what does it take to get a boat from New Zealand to Seattle? That, you know, what is the drill for how you ship something, and how long does it take to get a boat from New Zealand to Seattle?
Well, typically everything we try and ship to the US or anywhere where we export is we try and put it in 40-foot cans, you know, 40-foot containers, and being able to nest those boats in a way that it's really efficient and lowers the carbon footprint, you know, is pretty important. So we've over the years improved and advanced that, so we've got sort of really good shipping container numbers and such like that we can actually get them over here without issues. But it probably takes about 3 to 4 weeks to get them, you know, out of New Zealand and then into port in the USA.
Would it come right into Seattle, or would it come into a different port?
We got them coming into Portland because we devan down there at State and Oregon at Smoker Craft's facility down there, so they actually help us out with the devanning and such like, and it works pretty good.
Now, when he says nested into a container, okay, I've been in on a couple of these drills where you open up the can and out comes a boat, right? And so they've got them, you know, front to back and just, I mean, absolutely jammed in these containers and padded in there. And then of course they come out and the tops are assembled to them. And it's really quite the process. And I've got some pictures of one coming through, and actually of my boat, the way it was assembled. So I'm going to get that up on the website because it's a very interesting process how these boats are actually finished.
Yeah. And we actually think about that up front. You know, we actually think about that in the design process and how that fits into containering and such like, because we know that New Zealand's not our primary market anymore. It's the rest of the world. So,
sure.
They're pretty important.
Do you remember hearing the story about Bruce Gipple's boat falling off a barge on the way to Alaska?
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah, I mean, well, and a number of charter operators, sport fiction operators, put their boats on top of barges and send them up to Alaska to fishing for the summertime. And unfortunately, Bruce didn't have the safety chain on his trailer, right? Okay, poor guy. And I don't even know if we should be saying this on air, man, but
poor Bruce.
It was a brand new boat, didn't have transom tie downs on it. And so for weight, the actual boat that sits on top of this barge full of containers is nothing, right? Well, they didn't strap it down too well. They encountered some seas, and the boat launched off the trailer. Brand new boat, full of brand new gear and everything. They found it upside down and not in the greatest shape.
Well, so was it aluminum or aluminium?
It was exactly aluminium.